this week, you live in a money pit.
Money pit.
If your basement needs a pump or your place looks like a dump, you live in a money pit.
Money pit.
Pick up the telephone, fix up your home sweet home. I call it 888 Money Pit.
The Money Pit is presented by Hart Tools, available exclusively at Walmart. Now here are Tom and Leslie.
Coast to coast and floorboards to shingles, this is the Money Pit Home Improvement Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Here to help you get ready for your spring home improvement projects. Gosh, we've waited so long for this weather to turn around again, and now it's starting to get warm. I can't wait to get outside. I'm sure you can't wait to get outside, Leslie. And you at home, if you've got a project you'd like to get done outside or inside, we'll make a special exception. We would love to help. Help yourself first by picking up the phone and calling us with those questions at 1-888-MONEYPIT or post that question at moneypit.com. Coming up on today's show, you know, thanks in part to the pandemic, more people are taking on DIY projects around the home than ever before. And in fact, one study showed that of those that did a project last year, 84% are considering taking on an even tougher one this year. So we're going to share tips on a tool system that can help you get there with a reliable battering system that works on dozens of power and lawn and garden tools.
And we're going to look ahead to spring projects. Do you enjoy hanging out in your backyard, but maybe you're thinking you need a bit more privacy? You know, we all spent a lot of time out in the yard last year, so I think we've noticed that maybe the neighbors have their eyes on us as well. So we're going to share some landscaping tips to create private backyard hideaways.
And one type of plumbing pipe is very easy to work with, and it can save you lots of money. That is, as long as the mice don't get to it first. We're going to tell you how to keep mice away from PEX pipe.
But first, we're here to help you with the projects you want to get done, from bathrooms to basements and demolition to decor. We're going to share expert tips to help you tackle your to-dos with confidence.
So help yourself first. Call us right now at 1-888-MONEYPIT, 888-666-3974.
Heading to the northwest of Montana, where Dave is on the line. He's got a question about ceiling countertops. Well, how can we help you?
I have granite countertops myself, and I've talked to the people that install granite countertops around here, and they all say it's a rock. It doesn't need to be sealed, and they have no product that they'll sell me. I guess maybe they want to come into my house and do it themselves, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, my experience, and Leslie, you can share yours, but my experience has been that granite does, in fact, need to be sealed, especially when foods like coffee or tomato sauce or things like that get spilled on them, because they stain. They become they absorb the colors of those stains. And so the sealants on the granite, yeah, it's stone, but it doesn't mean it's not going to absorb whatever falls upon it. So yeah, I think it does need to be sealed. And sure, there's do-it-yourself sealing products and there's professional sealing products, but it's definitely a surface that has to be sealed.
And they are supposed to be resealed. And the lighter the color, the more often they are supposed to be sealed. Granite is a harder surface than marble, so requires like a different type of sealant and a different sort of type of frequency to sealing. I don't do my granite countertops as often as I should. I've had them in the house 16 years. I've probably sealed them 3 times. I think the recommendation is every 2 to 3 years. And I notice little spots where it does, you know, chip out, or the things where the sealant's wearing. But Tom's right. If it's a lighter color, you need to make sure that it remains sealed constantly, because oil and sauces and wine will stain the heck out of it if it's not sealed properly.
I think the secret is to choose a granite top that looks like oil and sauces and wine, and then you're kind of covered, right?
Yeah. So is there something, some kind of a product that you recommend that has a certain additive or a certain chemical makeup that would be best to use? Because, I'm not going to pay these guys a lot of money to come out every couple of years. I've had it done, 2 or 3 times in the last 10 years. Yeah. And so it tells me that it does need to be done if they're coming out to my place to do it.
So there are a number of commercial products that are perfect for do-it-yourselfers. One is called Granite Gold. Product's been around a long time. I don't know if what you've been using, Leslie. Have you done this yourself? Have you hired somebody to do it?
I know. I have the company that, you know, installed the granite all those years ago come and do it. And they always reprimand me for not doing it sooner.
Of course, because they need the work. But right. You can be the judge of that. There's a lot of consumer products that are available that would do a fine job, if nothing else, for maintaining it before having it professionally done. I don't think there's anything to be lost by doing it yourself. You know, you could pick up a bottle of Granite Gold for like $20-$25 and probably do your whole tops.
Well, I'll look into that.
All right. Well, listen, good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us. It's a good question. A lot of folks are confused by that, so we're happy to address it.
Now we're taking a call from Luann, who's dealing with a flooring issue. What's going on?
Well, I had a hallway carpet when I moved here, but my cat got sick.
Uh-oh.
And he started peeing, over the carpet.
Okay.
So I removed the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
I washed the plywood floor, and then I painted it with kills.
Okay.
Which is supposed to kill the smell. Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now my dog goes pee in one spot every night, and I'm going to have someone come in next week. They're putting down the, that plastic or whatever they put underneath, and I'm getting hardwood.
Okay. So you're kind of a glutton for punishment here. You keep improving the floors, and the pets keep ruining them on you. Here's what I would do. I would take up the old floor and I would prime the subfloor again, just because this is the time to do that.
Okay.
Did it right the first time. I just think you should do it again, because this way, if there's anything left over from the pets, this will help to seal it in, and it won't be nearly as bad as if you didn't do it. So before that new floor goes down, I think it's a smart idea to prime the old floor again. I would use, Kills was a fine product. I would, if you had a choice, I would use the oil-based or the solvent-based version of that, because it comes latex and it comes solvent-based. The solvent-based is a little tougher and gives you a better seal than the water-based.
Well, to be honest, it was the oil base. I didn't know it.
Well, you made the right decision.
It was winter, and I'm putting it on.
Yeah, that's a good idea. If you have a problem with a pet like that, is to prime that surface, because it does get saturated, and it's the best way to seal it in permanently. So good luck with that project, Luann, and maybe we need to do a little work training the pets, right?
Oh, well, thank you two so very much.
You're welcome.
Taking a local call from Steve in New York, who's dealing with a heating question. What's going on?
Well, I used to have a steam heat system in my house with the old radiators.
Okay.
My house is probably from the 1890s, and I was thinking about the radiators that have been removed, and I've been heating with, like, just a direct vent heat system, you know, one of them gas wall units. And I was thinking about trying to put forced air in that house, but I have no way to get through the, you know, the bottom of the first floor to like the second floor, because I have like soap plates in the wall. I was wondering if you got any ideas what I can do for a heat system instead of putting steam back in here, because I'd like to put central air in the house too.
Right, so you want to have a ducted system that where you can have heat and air. And you say that you used to have these steam radiators, but you took those out. That's kind of a shame, because steam radiators and steam heat in general is a pretty warm and wonderful way to heat a house.
Well, I still have the radiators downstairs, and I could put them back in. That was my other question, too. Should I just go back to the steam radiators and the steam boiler and just forget the air condition?
To restore the steam heating system, you would have the benefit of warm, moist, and comfortable heat in the winter. Your air conditioning system would be a separate ducted system. Now, there's two ways to do this. You can use a traditional ducting system, which would run in through your walls, or you say it's difficult because of the way the walls are constructed now. But in some cases, I know I have a house that's a little bit older than yours, and when I put in air conditioning, we were able to run them ducts in closets and places like that, so they weren't quite so obvious without going through the walls itself. But there's another system I'd like you to look into called Space Pack, spelled P-A-K, S-P-A-C-P-A-K.com, spacepack.com. This is a system that is a high-velocity, low-volume design. So the ducts of a Space Pack system are only like 3.5-inch or so tubes, and they can be inside wall and floor cavities very easily. You don't have to have the big ducts. And what they do is they move air through at a faster speed. That's why they're called high velocity. And they still do a great job of cooling the place. So that's another option for you in terms of getting air conditioning. But again, it's a separate system than the heating system that you have now. And of course, the third option is just to go with ducts all the way. and putting in a forced air system won't be as comfortable as the hot water, but it would be less expensive than two systems. But you're going to have to find a very talented HVAC contractor that understands this is an old historic home, and he can't just go tearing things wide open. He's got to be creative and strategic about how he gets the ducts into each place in the house.
Do you recommend a baseboard electric heat at all?
No, it will cost you an arm and a leg, especially in New York. Yeah. The very most expensive way to heat a house.
Okay, I thought the electric baseboard came down in price, but I guess I'm wrong on that.
It's not the baseboard that comes down in price. The equipment is cheap. It's electricity that costs you the arm and leg.
I thought they were cheaper to run today, but I guess I'm wrong.
Yeah. No. All right, Steve, good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us at 888 Money Pit.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.
Everyone should know that drinking water is important to staying hydrated and healthy. Having safe, clean water is the last thing you want to worry about, but unfortunately, according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants right in its tap water.
That's why we are thrilled to be working with AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers use a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing. It removes 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters and is specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS in your water supply. And they have water purifiers to fit every type of home, from installation-free countertop purifiers to higher capacity under-sink options. They even have a Wi-Fi connected purifier and mineral boost options.
And its proprietary purification technology is independently tested by IAPMO to NSF and ANSI standards to remove over 80 of the most harmful contaminants, including chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, PFAS known as forever chemicals, nitrate, and many more. I can truly taste the difference when I compare it with my old water filter. AquaTrue saves you money also. Just one set of filters from their classic purifier makes the equivalent of 4,500 bottles of water. That's less than 3 cents a bottle. Plus, you'll save the environment from tons of plastic waste.
AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee and even makes a great gift. And today, Money Pit listeners can receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to AquaTrue.com. That's AquaTrue.com and enter code MONEYPIT at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue water purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com and use promo code MONEYPIT, MONEYPIT.
You know, thanks in part to the pandemic, more people are taking on DIY projects around the house than ever before. And a recent study done by Axiom showed that of those that did a project in 2020, 84% are considering more difficult home improvement projects this year.
Yeah, so if that sounds like your household, you might be feeling like it's time to start investing in reliable tools to get those projects done. And that's why we want to talk with you a bit about the 20-volt line of HART tools that's available now at Walmart. You know, when you're considering power tools, it is really smart to select a line of tools that shares the same battery platform, because no matter which tool you use, the batteries are interchangeable.
So whether you need a drill, a saw, an impact driver, or a string trimmer, before you shop for the tool, choosing the best battery platform to power those tools means that you'll always have a convenient source of reliable power to get those jobs done.
Yeah, and that's what you'll find with the HART 20-volt system. HART's battery compatibility is the key here, because it allows all your 20-volt batteries to work with all your 20-volt tools, and that includes power tools, lawn and garden, automotive, and even lifestyle products. And the batteries are basically what puts the power in power tools. They're compact, they're lightweight, they're powerful, and they're versatile enough to power HART's entire 20-volt collection of tools.
So before your next DIY project, check out the HART 20-volt system and the dozens of tools that they power. When it comes to DIY, HART powers your projects and your lifestyle. Now, HART tools are available exclusively at Walmart, offering a complete line of tools, accessories, and DIY solutions for you to easily tackle any project.
Do it with HART. Learn more at harttools.com.
All right, heading out to Vegas. We've got Mary on the line. What's going on at your money pit?
I can't believe how much money I'm spending on my house to maintain it.
Okay.
I would never get that out of a sales, or would I?
Well, it depends. What's going on right now that you're trying to deal with?
I need to put a new roof on my house.
Okay.
I was basically given the choice by a roofer of using ice and snow paper.
Mm-hmm.
The water and ice.
It's called Ice and Water Shield. Uh-huh.
There was the 15-pound tar paper. That's no good. 30-pound tar paper.
Uh-huh.
Or rubber.
Okay. First of all, what kind of roof do you have? Is it what kind of material?
It's Mexican tiles.
It's tiles, okay. And why are you getting a new roof? Have the tiles deteriorated?
They've been blowing off.
They've been blowing off. Okay. They've been blowing off in such numbers that replacing the roof is the only option. I know that there's more repair here than you want to. Because the reason I'm asking you these questions is I'm trying to make sure that the guy's not just selling you a roof that you really don't need. Because if the tiles are blowing off, then it sounds like they need repair. They may not need replacement. In terms of the question, it concerns me because the options that they're giving you, I'm sure they're attaching enormously different price tags associated with them, and all of them are not really that much difference in terms of what the cost would be. First of all, ice and water shield would be rare to use in an environment like Nevada because it's more common in the north. And what it does is it stops icicles from forming and it doesn't stop from forming. If icicles do form and you get a backup of melted snow going back up under the tile, then it will stop it from leaking into the house. But in your environment, that's pretty rare. Secondly, the difference between 30-pound felt and 15-pound felt is not very much in terms of expense. And that's just the tar paper that goes underneath the shingles. More to the point is, what kind of roof shingles are we going to put on this place? Are we going to put new tile back on, or are we going to go with like an asphalt shingle? And you can have asphalt shingles today that actually are styled to look like the tile that you had now, and if they're installed properly, they actually look pretty darn good. So those are the kinds of options that I would be concerned about.
Asphalt tile?
No, asphalt shingles. That's a standard roof shingle, but if you look, there's a type of shingle called a dimensional shingle that looks a lot like the old ceramic tile that you're going to be removing. Has that same clay color to it, and the way it's built, it has an edge that creates like a shadow line that gives you the visual appearance of depth. That's another option for you. So I would start with this. First of all, reevaluate why you want to replace this roof. The fact that you've got roof tiles that are blowing off, those ought to be repairable, and it wouldn't necessarily call for a whole new roof. If you are going to replace the roof, then you have some different options, which would be more to the point of what's going to go on the sort of the top facing side and not what's underneath it. Because I don't think the expense of ice and water shield or 30-pound or 50-pound asphalt tar paper is going to make a big difference in the overall job that has to be done. It's mostly labor, and a small part of that is materials. So I would proceed by determining if you really want to tear off that whole tile roof, because in most cases, those tile roofs can last indefinitely if they're well maintained.
I understand. So you're saying that ice and water is not...
Not typical for Las Vegas, yes. I mean, how much winter snow do you get?
Well, when it rains, I don't want it to leak.
The ice and water shield is not what stops the whole roof from leaking. Now, there are some cases, like in communities where hurricanes are common, like down, like say in Miami, where they cover the entire roof with ice and water shield. But in the other 99.9% of the country, ice and water shield is only used at the roof edge. And it's designed to stop ice dams. The only reason they use it in communities like Miami is because if you were to have a hurricane that blew off large sections of your roof shingles, the house could remain watertight for some period of time and hopefully give you a chance to replace the roof before it starts to leak.
Okay, how about the rubber base?
Well, I'm not quite sure what kind of rubber roofing you're talking about, but typically rubber roofs are used on flat roofs, and I'm sure if you have a tile roof, it's not flat.
Oh, I want it waterproof.
Well, but a tile roof should be waterproof. That's not the waterproofing is not in the underlayment as much as it's in the surface shingle that you choose. I would talk to some more roofers because I don't think you're getting the full opportunity here to understand the options. It sounds like they're trying to dazzle you with the details, Leslie, but I don't think she's getting the full scope here. So I would try to get some more estimates. All right, I hope that helps, and good luck with that project. If you have more questions, give us a call back. Hey, if you guys need a little cash to take on some spring projects, you got one more week now to enter the $2,500 Money Pit Makeover on BobVila.com. We partnered with the team at Bob Vila because let's face it, Bob's been lending inspiration and nitty-gritty know-how to DIYers of every generation, and the Money Pit podcast does help you create your best home ever. It's been a great fit for us, and we hope that through this experience, we're able to put in your hands one of five $500 Amazon gift cards to get your project done. So enter now at bobvila.com, the $2,500 Money Pit makeover.
Now we've got Steve from Arkansas on the line. How can we help you?
A water heater. We got, you know, just the regular old fashioned kind that they've made for years. It's, when we moved in 96, it was there, and we're still here. And this thing that's supposed to go out in 15 years is still working fine. But it's in a, you know, the downstairs is a complete second floor, basement style, underground with concrete walls. And I didn't want it to blow up or anything, because I've even heard that they blow it through the roofs, which in my case would be the living room door floor where my wife would be when I'd be popping up through the floor. Do I need to get in there and replace it and quit waiting on it to happen?
Well, first of all, is it a gas water heater or electric? What do you got?
Gas.
I think that that machine has served that home well for you and the prior owner. And if it was me, I would definitely upgrade it. I would replace it, because why take a chance? It's of that age where it's probably going to leak at some point, and you don't need that kind of a mess and emergency to deal with. So I would definitely recommend that you replace it. New water heaters today are more efficient, too. You could also consider a tankless water heater if you chose. So you have options now.
We're not worried too much about the cost. We just wondered how long did these things last? Because I've only heard 15 years, and we just can't get over how long this one's lasted.
I see the warranties on water heaters anywhere from, I think, 5, 10, or 15 years. So when you get a water heater that's 25, 26 years old, I think it's high time to replace it.
I know. Well, I thought maybe it might be a good one. If it's lasted this long, I'd be afraid to replace it. You know, the new one might not be as well. You know, no guarantees in life.
That's right, Steve. Good luck with that project. Thanks for calling us.
Well, enjoying a relaxing afternoon in your own backyard really is one of the best parts of being a homeowner. But have you ever felt that maybe your neighbors are getting an eyeful every single time you're out there? If you do feel that way, it's a good idea to create a more private area.
Yeah, and not only is it great for you, it adds value to your home, because a new survey of real estate agents found that 48% of home buyers are looking for homes with privacy hedges. And there's lots of very natural ways to do that, with screening options that both look great and take you out of the public eye.
Yeah, and I think when homeowners think about privacy screening, they assume that you need a fence to get that project done. But there are a lot of natural ways that you can do that. And they do sometimes, I feel, a better job than a fence itself. Now, a line of evergreen trees or even arborvitae, they can provide year-round seclusion even better than a fence can, because there's no municipal restrictions on how high that tree can grow. But if you were to put in a fence, they're going to tell you, oh, you can't go taller than 6 feet or whatever that village code is.
Yeah, and you got to get a permit, and you got to pay for the permit, and you got to get the inspection. So, yeah.
And then you get the ugly side.
That's right. You get the ugly side, because you're required to have the good side face out. Luckily, trees don't have a bad side. They look great all the way around. You know, arborvitae is a good choice, because it doesn't need pruning to keep its full shape from top to bottom, and it can handle a wide range of growing conditions. We recently replaced all our old hedges with a green giant arborvitae. And that variety we chose because it will not be eaten by deer. Our old bushes were getting decimated by deer. And boy, from the day we put them in, I see the deer walk up to them and they're like, nah, I don't think so. And they move on.
They're like, wait, what happened? This used to be our favorite spot to eat at. Now, you can also look into trees as an option. But if you've got power lines above your screen, you don't want to mess with trees that are so big that they'll end up growing into those wires. So you have to pay attention to their width at maturity. The spacing between the trunks when you plant them should equal mature width. While the ideal growing conditions vary by species, one thing about all these evergreens that they have in common is they love the sun. So you need to make sure that wherever they are in your yard, they get at least 6 hours of direct sunlight a day. And then you'll find that the foliage is going to remain full. It's going to keep the privacy intact. They're going to look beautifully green all year long.
Now, if you want to get a sense of privacy right away, select specimens that are at least 6 feet tall with green foliage and very moist root balls. They'll reach generally about 15 feet or more when they're mature, and they should be planted far enough apart so they'll be touching when they're fully grown. And trimming also helps determine what you plant. Now, if you want a natural wall of privacy, quickly go for the arborvitae over the evergreen trees. These can grow 1 to 2 feet each year, and they can be easily shaped into a nice, neat hedge, or they can be left to grow naturally to enjoy year round.
Now we're heading to New Hampshire. Sarah's on the line. How can we help you?
I bought a seasonal home in Maine, so I can only be there 6 months out of the year because you need a ferry to get over there.
Oh boy.
And I want to make sure I'm not getting mice during the year when I'm not there, the 6 months that I'm not
okay.
there.
All right.
So what's the best thing to do?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, don't store food where the mice can get to it. And that means, of course, not keeping things in ground level, making sure food is in sturdy containers if it is. If you have any small holes around the foundation perimeter, cracks in the foundation or space between the foundation and the siding, those are good to seal up. And you can do that just by sticking steel wool in the holes. Avoid creating nesting areas. So if you have like piles of firewood against the house or any kind of high brush, stuff like that is another reason for mice to kind of make themselves at home. And finally, I would put down some rodenticide, you know, some decon or a product like that, especially in the lower levels of the house. I don't know if you have a basement or a crawl space, but that's generally where the mice start. And then they will eat that and take it back to the nest, and that will take care of at least some of them. So I think it's just a process of good maintenance and not giving them an opportunity to have food there that they want to stay around longer for.
Well, unfortunately, the owner before me, all his wood is piled up underneath the porch, so I'm hoping that's not an attraction for them. And the other thing is he did insulate underneath the home, so I'm hoping that's a deterrent. I don't think they like the insulation. Is that correct?
No, actually, they love insulation. I've seen mice that will pull apart pieces of insulation to make a warm nest. Yeah, they're very energy efficient creatures. You know, they like their insulation. But I think it's good that they insulated the floor because it makes it much more comfortable for you. So those are the kinds of things. But I wouldn't worry about it unless you have a problem. And if it really gets bad, you can call a professional and they can deploy some additional tactics. Okay.
All righty. Well, thanks an awful lot. I appreciate your time.
All right. Enjoy that vacation home. Thanks for calling us.
I shall. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mike in Louisiana's on the line with a question about concrete. What's happening to it?
I have a crack in my foundation, and I was wondering what would be the best way to stop it.
So is this a basement foundation or a crawl space foundation? What's it look like?
I have on the slab. I don't have a basement, nothing. It's just a crack in the concrete goes pretty much all the way across on one end. On one end of the house.
Okay, so is it the floor, or do you see it from the outside? Where are we seeing this?
Just in the floor. I just see it in the floor. I don't see it on the side. I've looked at it twice on the outside, and I haven't seen it.
All right, so that might not be part of the foundation, because when you have a slab-on-grade house, the floor area itself is actually not part of the foundation, only the perimeter is. So that's a pretty standard crack repair. What you want to do is go to a home center and pick up a Quikrete, Quikrete, epoxy-based or patching compound. And that is something that you can apply to the crack. There's a number of different types of this. Some of it comes in a tube that you can apply with a caulk gun, and others you mix up. But it has to be a patching material because otherwise it won't stick to the old concrete. And then what you do is clean out that crack, you apply the patch, let it dry, and you're good to go.
Okay, I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good luck with that project. Thanks again for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT.
Well, if you're building new or remodeling a home, one type of plumbing pipe has become very popular. In fact, more popular than any other over the last decade. And that's cross-linked polyethylene. And that's more commonly known as PEX. Now, PEX, it's flexible, so that makes it really easy to snake down through walls or floor cavities. You don't have to solder it together, which really makes it much safer to work with. And it's about 60% cheaper than copper plumbing. But there is a downside you've got to be aware of. Mice, for some reason, find this pipe super duper delicious. It's like their favorite tasty treat, but that can lead to a lot of water damage.
Yeah, so if you have PEX water supply lines, just be aware that mice can chew through them and make sure you take quick steps to prevent a rodent infestation before it happens. We're not saying don't use it because there's a lot of really positive reasons to use it, but just be aware that that is a weakness. And if you do see any infestation, make sure you take care of it right away. We've got step-by-step tips on how to keep mice and rats away on our post titled How to Get Rid of Mice, and that's on MoneyPit.com. Just search for it.
Heading to Minnesota, where Beth is doing some work in the bathroom, and you want some toilet help. What's going on?
The water kept running into it, so I decided to install a new field valve and flapper. And I measured everything, and I followed the instructions, and I did solve the original problem, but now I developed a new one. When I flush it, the water goes into the bowl okay, except now anything in the bowl goes to the top of the bowl, almost to the rim. And then when the tank itself is filled, then the bowl goes down slowly and it flushes, but then it only leaves a little water in the bowl. So I called the manufacturer and talked to them. He said, well, try plunging it because it might be a clog. So I did that. I tried hot water and bleach to see if I could get that, if it is a clog. And nothing has worked. And I don't know what to do. I give up.
I mean, that's what happens typically in a clog, is it'll fill to the top, and then the tank will fill, and then it'll, you know, that suction force will just bring everything down.
Yeah. And the ones that are the trickiest to diagnose is when you have a partial clog, where you have some water that's getting past, but not a lot. So I wonder if something is lodged in either the trap of the toilet or the line beyond that. And really the next step is to have a plumber come out and do a drain cleaning of that. I'll tell you a funny story about how this happened when my kids were younger. We had a toilet that was clogged in a downstairs bathroom, and outside this bathroom we had a willow tree, and I knew that the willow tree roots used to get into the plumbing line, so I immediately assumed that was what it was, and I went outside and dug up my yard and found the pipe clean out, which was a couple of feet below the surface, and I snaked one way and snaked the other way, and I couldn't find any clog. So I thought, well, maybe it's between the pipe break and the toilet. So I decided to pull the toilet off. And don't you know that when I did that, I turned it over and noticed something blue in the bottom of the toilet. And of course, you're not supposed to have anything blue in a ceramic toilet. And it turned out to be a little toy telephone that one of my kids had dropped down there that was letting just enough water through to trick us. And so you never know what's going to be in there. And if you have a partial obstruction like that, that could explain for what's happening.
Okay. Well, the only thing I can do then is to get a plumber.
Yep. You don't want a carpenter, that's for sure. Beth, thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT.
Janice reached out to us through Facebook. Now, Janice writes, I'm interested in getting a whole house surge protector that can help me avoid blackouts. What do I need to know beforehand?
Well, first of all, Janice, the surge protector itself is not going to necessarily help you avoid blackouts. What it will help you avoid is damaging appliances and wiring in your house, because the surge protector does just that. It interrupts any surge of electricity before the rest of the electronics can be damaged. Now, there's different levels of surge protectors. Generally, utility companies do have, you know, sort of industrial-sized surge protectors that can protect the wires going into your home. But in terms of inside the house, you can use a whole house surge protector, which gets installed in your main electrical panel or sometimes attaches to the top or side of it. Definitely not a DIY project, because if you know anything about the inside of electrical panels, even when the breakers are off, there's live wires coming in there. So don't do it yourself. But a whole house surge protector is one option. And then the second thing is to use a surge protector at the device itself. So surge protectors that protect, for example, your printers or your computers or your television sets. And those will protect those individual items. I had a situation here, not with me, but with a neighbor who got hit with a lightning strike, and it took out, I think, two air conditioners, her cable, and there was something else. And I was fine. But just by luck, by happenstance, she lost all of that stuff with a lightning strike that wasn't even visible. It must have happened. Nobody saw it, but it definitely fried everything in the process.
I mean, you remember we had that storm and I lost my dryer.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So now it's like everything is on surge protectors in the house. It's like you just have to be careful, because you never know when it's going to happen or if it's going to happen.
Yeah, and if you want to protect yourself from blackouts, then you really need to have a whole house generator. And that's going to, you know, turn the power back on when the utility goes off.
Right. And that's a whole different question and project.
That's right.
All right, now we're going to take a question from Tyler, who says, is there a DIY solution for getting rid of ants, or do I need an exterminator?
Well, there are a lot of things you can do yourself or try yourself, I think, is the most important word. For example, borax. It's a very good insecticide for ants. You can sprinkle some borax around where they seem to be coming through and see if it has an effect. If you're looking for an even cheaper, less toxic solution for ants, you could find it in your local produce aisle, because a little bit of mint leaves will actually help to keep those ants away. And if you want a good over-the-counter pesticide, you could try taro. Now, if the ants are relentless and they keep coming again, again, and again, you really need to turn to a pro. And you shouldn't be skittish about that, because the pesticides that are used today are much safer than the ones they had years ago. They're designed to work on a single insect that's bothering you and are very effective in making them go away for good. You know, I went through pretty much all of these steps not too long ago. I think it was last summer for my mom, because she was getting ants on her kitchen countertop. And, you know, we would clean them up, and then we would use, like, over-the-counter traps and, you know, use some borax and some this and some that. And we slowed them down, but they just kept coming. So ultimately, I called an exterminator, and he put the right amount of material, which was a gel in this case, just where it needed. And we didn't see a single one for the rest of the year.
I mean, the good part is, though, if you're seeing the bugs, it means the warm weather in the spring is finally here.
That's right.
So let's be positive.
You are listening to the Money Pit Home Improvement Show. And hey, guys, we are so appreciative that you're doing just that. And we hope that we're bringing value to your home, value to you, and saving you some time and some stress as you take on these projects. These are fun things to do. These are stress relievers. These make your space better. And we are so pleased to be able to help you do just that. Remember, a couple of the ways to reach out to us with those questions, of course, 888 Money Pit, or post your questions on moneypit.com or on Facebook.com/TheMoneyPit. That's all the time we have for today, though. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Remember, you can do it yourself,
but you don't have to do it alone.
You live in a money pit.